You can't force your way in. I'm going to be forceful. I mean, you think, okay, I'm going to force my way to the front and touch the hem of his garment. I understand. I'm going to knock on the door all night until he opens the door to me and lets me in and gives me what I want. I'm going to go before that unjust judge and keep pleading my case until he comes. You know, they think of that as being forceful. And it is, in a sense, a kind of a force. But I don't think that's what he's talking about here. What I think he's talking about is those who force their way in. And instead of laboring my own point, I'm just going to let Christ make the point with verse 16 and 17. Here is the picture of those who wish to enter the kingdom by force. Verse 16, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to children sitting in the markets, calling to their fellows, and saying, 'We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of their children.'" The idea of children calling into the market, you know, they're sitting in the market, calling to their friends, saying, "We have piped, but you have not danced. You know, we wanted to go this way. We wanted to force dancing. And we piped, but you wouldn't cooperate. Okay, we wanted to play funeral. We're going to mourn. But you didn't lament. You're not doing what we want to make you do. We want to pipe and you will dance. We want to mourn and you will lament." That's my idea of what it is to be forceful in the context of what Jesus is saying here. That kind of forcefulness, where we want to direct the direction. This is what we want. God, give it to us. You know, John didn't come eating and drinking. They say, we want someone who's going to eat and drink with us. We want a prophet who's going to accept us and say, "Pharisees, you've done well, and the kingdom of God is waiting with a reward for you. Enter in. We're so excited you're here." But no, he came not eating and drinking, but fasting, waiting for Messiah, baptizing, repentance. "Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But bring forth fruit worthy of repentance." They say, "Oh, he's got a devil. This guy. You know, doesn't he know we aren't sinners? Doesn't he know we don't need repentance or baptism? But rather he needs us to approve of him? That he should dance when we pipe and lament when we mourn?" And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, "Oh, gluttonous man. A winebibber, friend of publicans and sinners," themselves being sinners. You know, he even dined with Pharisees from time to time. And they thought, but then when they saw them, "Oh, if he was the Messiah, he would know. The woman who touches him is not a righteous person." And he's thinking, "The guy who just handed me the gravy isn't a righteous person. If I was not going to deal with sinners, I should not be able to minister to anyone. Or eat with anyone." You know, Jesus came sitting down and eating and drinking with people. And they find fault. "We want you to be more like John and like us. And not like this, you know, seemingly free. You know, you've got to, you know, hey. You know, John had his own way of rejecting the Pharisees and Sadducees. And Christ had his. His was by substituting the, instead of being austere and in the wilderness and saying, you need to repent. No, he went and showed them how their need to repent by giving his attention to publicans and sinners. Preaching the gospel to them that they might repent and allowing them to enter in. And the Pharisees and Sadducees were not pleased. These people are sinners. And they said, "Oh, he's gluttonous. He drinks to excess." It's not true. But because he was always eating and drinking with people, instead of being like John, you know, they didn't accept him. You know, the funny thing is, when John was like John, they didn't like him. And when Jesus was like Jesus, they didn't like that. Because both had a common thread, in that he did not approve of their works. And neither did John. And both saw them as much sinners as the publicans and harlots. But wisdom is justified of her children. The children of wisdom are the good that come of wise counsel. And that is how wisdom is justified. The wisdom is justified by the results it achieves. And in the sight of God, both ministries were acceptable to God, and therefore justified. The wisdom of those ministries being justified by the approval of God. Verse 20, then began he to upbraid the cities where most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Verse 21, woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it should be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for thee. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if thy mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have repented until this day. It would have remained until this day. But I say to you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. So, I've had people come to me and say, well, does this mean Tyre and Sidon get another, and Sodom get another chance of repentance and judgment? I'm like, what? All he's saying is that if these works had been done in those cities, they would have repented. It doesn't mean that God owed them the works to be done so that they would have a chance to repent. God doesn't owe anyone a chance. He could judge us all instantly, and he judges many instantly. And we have nothing to say about it, because eternal life isn't something we have coming by nature of anything. I mean, by us or by God, it is not owed to us. We do not deserve to live forever any more than a fly deserves to live forever in the sight of God. It is only by God's grace that we even have an opportunity or a thought that we might have an opportunity to inherit eternal life. What Jesus is saying to these people is that you have had these mighty works done in you, and yet you have not repented. It is more grievous a sin, therefore, your unbelief than Sodom and Gomorrah, or Tyre and Sidon, you know, both cities that had been destroyed.